I'm right there with you.
So, son, how did you do last week?
Mixed bag in the NFL. Mixed bag. The Chiefs came through with it. We were talking last week. We talked about the over in the game. Of course, we barely got that 47. Was what the
skin
final
of our
score
teeth,
was.
Baby. Right. Still got it.
Over 46.5. And then the Chiefs covered, obviously, as well. It was dicey. It was a little dicey at the end. That two-point conversion pending was going to screw us up if we even got to that point in time. And then the Raiders disappointed. So it was mixed bag in the NFL. College football, pretty good week, actually, for us.
Well, let's stay with the National Football League, as they like to call it, here on 96.5 The Fan, and the Chiefs took care of business. They're a 6-point favorite now, down to 5.5, depending on which place you're looking at. They were up to 6.5 at one point against the Bengals.
Damn,
I'm feeling a smoke job. They're going to motorboat this team. I don't know what you're thinking when it comes to the spread with the Chiefs and Bengals.
The number is important here, though. I mean, I think the only way I would take Cincy is if you can get it at 6. If it's 5.5, to me, you stay away or you take the Chiefs. I know Joe Burrow's track record in terms of covering the spread. When he's an underdog of 3 or more points, he covers 78% of the time. He's 11-3 against the spread. So the numbers, the trends would say, okay, it's actually a really good spot to back Joe Burrow. The question is,
but he's also over September.
It's September is where he's not as good, and this looked like a different Cincinnati team. I get it, it's one game, but T. Higgins is probably not playing. Ja'Marr Chase, if he plays, I still wonder if he's fully up to speed because he hasn't really been practicing, as we all know, all offseason and training camp and everything. Mm-hmm. It feels like with the wrist injury that everybody's analyzing him, shaking off his wrist a little bit multiple times throughout the game and everything like that.
Yep.
This is one where I would only take Cincy if you could still find a 6 on the board. And you can do like the alternate lines, whatever app you use, FanDuel or whatever, and you can do that. But this doesn't feel like the same Cincy team. This feels like a big mismatch, guys. We're going to talk about it, as I'm sure you guys have today on our show, just that when you look at their defense and their secondary, it just feels with the weapons the Chiefs have entering in, this is more of a mismatch than we've seen recently.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think this is your nephew's Cincinnati Bengals or however you want to put it. I think this is the classic case of, they were good, so we assume they're going to be good, but clearly, I don't want to say time has passed them by, but maybe time has passed them by. You got a quarterback with an injury, a wide receiver fighting about a contract, another one with a bad hamstring that won't play, and your best running back's in Houston. Like, to me, it's just not the same Cincinnati Bengal team. It's not saddling up with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and then surrounding them with a cast and making them better. It's just not. So I think Cincinnati is that classic team where everybody, for the most part, thought they were going to be a good playoff team, but reality has sunk in, and they're like every other NFL team. They're starting to age out.
The other thing we talked a ton about last year with the Chiefs schedule late was what? Like how many days rest and all that? I feel like we haven't mentioned enough that the Chiefs have had 10 days or will have 10 days to get ready for. And they're, other than Hollywood Brown, who's probably not going to play the way things are trending, they're healthy. This is a really healthy team, as you should be in week two, but the Browns. The Bengals are not. And so I think that's another huge part of this thing. The Chiefs,
the Browns aren't either. They signed Kadarius Toney the other
day. That's right. Yeah. Well, now finally Deshaun Watson has weapons around him. So,
Watson sucks. And
yes,
it's okay to admit that terrible quarterback.
Right now his
and
best
even
weapon
worse
is his lawyer.
Yeah.
That's
well, the Browns are hoping that his lawyer can't get him out of this
that's
one.
That's right, because then they get to forfeit that contract.
Anybody else looking at that conspiracy thing now?
Of course,
right?
We're all there. Waiting for more legs in that parlay as well, though. But right now what I'm looking at from DraftKings, Chiefs are now -5, and the over-under is 47.5.
Okay.
So they're thinking defense and Chiefs domination is what I would think by that. The other thing I want to ask you about is we dive into tonight's game. Now, I'm like you. I look way too much into things, and I see the stories come out with Paul Charchin, who joins your show, I believe, today, right?
Yep, 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. And, God, I'm good. And the other thing about it is, like, he's like, you got stones if you're running out there with Devon Achane tonight, because I picked up Jeff Wilson Jr. this morning. I think there's a little question with their running game. Does that mean 2 or more, 2 or less, or is it same Dolphins, same Bills game where it could be 37-31 by the end of the night?
So I think it's a little lower scoring game anyway. Some of it is, as you brought up, the injury history right now with that team, that the running back room. Because even if Achane does play tonight, it's an ankle injury. I mean, that's something you
get
3 carries and all of a sudden he aggravates the ankle, and then it's Jeff Wilson who's capable. I mean, the guy's had you play fantasy football. That guy's had some 100-yard games before. I just think this game goes under a little bit. There's a chance it's raining. It's still going to be super humid. I don't think it's going to be the wind from obviously the hurricane remnants and everything like that they were talking about. But this game, it's a Thursday night. We know the trend typically on Thursday night.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. Take us through like some of those like Thursday night scenarios for folks.
So last year, early on in the season, it was actually overs. That was the stunning thing. It was overs on Thursday night, and then it balanced out. Thursday night games, unders were 11-6. So majority of the Thursday night games were under. You also had some games that were like 19-3, 12-9. Like, we had some ugly games last year just in terms of points. Mm-hmm. And it's the short week and the health factor that we just mentioned. And the healthier team is the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, their quarterback, it sounds like it's minor. Josh Allen dealing with some sort of hand injury. I'm sure he's gonna play and everything's gonna be fine. I just think the under is the play tonight. The other part is just how the Bills and Dolphins have matched up with each other, you know, under this current regime. The Bills are 4-0 in the last four meetings. You can get the Bills on the money line tonight at plus 115. So whether or not you take them with the 2.5 points to cover, they're plus money. And with Josh Allen, he averages over 333 in those four wins against the Dolphins. So I kind of lean with the Bills here. My favorite bet is the under because Joe Brady, who's the OC for Buffalo, they're the most run-heavy offense in the NFL through 1 week.
Yeah, I see a stat right here staring me in the face. Tua Tagovailoa in seven career games against the Buffalo Bills, 1-6, 207 passing yards per game, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I also don't think this is the same Buffalo defense from years past, and I just want to see complete chaos in Miami tonight. I also have, I don't know if you like it or not, I showed you the parlay that I had. If you want to tell myself the parlay that I had tonight, maybe you can tell me I'm off by something, but Jalen Waddle to score at any time, Josh Allen 25 plus rushing yards, Tyreek Hill to have 90 or more receiving yards, and Tua at over 225. I think you said the only thing that's in question is what we just read, which is the Tua Tagovailoa going over 225.
Yeah, just whether or not you trust Tua to bring you home on that one. For Tyreek, anytime, if you're going to do a Tyreek Hill bet, to me, the only bet you can make are overs. Like, you either, to me, just stay away from a Tyreek Hill bet, or you take the over. I just don't think it's ever a smart idea to take an under on a Tyreek bet. Because we know he could have 10 yards in the fourth quarter, and all it takes, what was it, an 80-yard touchdown last week?
80-yard touchdown.
That's all it takes.
Boom, to the house.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, I have him as a first-time touchdown because they had a 50% prop boost.
There you go.
And I took touchdown score, Tyreek Hill. So I'm hoping the game starts off.
First time touchdown.
Bring it home. Bring it home.
Dallas and New Orleans, you also like this week. Why?
Well, so I like this game for Dallas because this is not only did Dallas look great against Cleveland, and we just discussed how terrible Cleveland is, and so take it with somewhat of a grain of salt, but under Dennis Allen, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, when they're coming off a win, they're one of the worst teams to back. Like, you know, you think momentum would be a good thing. No, it's the opposite with the Saints. They get a win. They destroy the terrible Carolina Panthers last week. The Saints are 4-10-1 against the spread the following week after a win. They just don't cover. That's a 28% rate. It's the worst mark in the NFL since 2022. So in this game, they're 6.5-point dogs. You might say, oh, they look good against Carolina. Derek Carr looked good. Take them to cover the 6.5. Under their head coach, that's not a spot that is usually profitable. It does not get you home. So I like Dallas quite a bit. I also think the whole offseason stuff with Dallas got overblown because, you know, the issues with Philly, that was a quarterback and coach relationship. Dallas's guys just wanted to get paid, and they all basically got paid. The weapons are there. The playoffs is their issue. Regular season, they're going to win 12 games this year, I believe. I think Dallas wins that division. So I think Dallas is in a good spot here, minus 6.5 against New Orleans.
Rams and Cardinals as well, NFC West type
of
game.
So I was going to ask you about this, because why it's plus one to the Rams on the road? Is that just...
Because Arizona's not any good.
They're banged up. Puka's out and their tackle's out?
Yeah, so I like the Rams plus 1.5. You can find... Yeah, I think it's down to 1 in some spots. Plus 1.5 is where it was at a day or so ago, at least. And I know they're on the road, and you're right. We saw the Sunday night game against the Lions. They got so banged up. They were already banged up on the offensive line, and then they suffered some more injuries. Now they don't have Puka. But the Cardinals, while they put up a fight against Buffalo, I'm not sold that defense is going to be able to, even with some of the injuries, slow down Matthew Stafford. I think they were rusty to start the first half against Detroit, and then we kind of saw both offenses pick it up. So I think Kyren Williams, the running back for the Rams, and then even someone I know in Kansas City, we're like, okay, he doesn't run forwards. But DeMarcus Robinson has done a nice job since joining the Rams. He's going to pick up a lot of the slack that Puka left behind. So.
That's amazing that he's still in the league,
to credit him,
right? Yeah, absolutely. Like, you've had a hell
good quarterbacks.
You've had a hell of a career if you can last that long.
He's going to end up playing for 10 years in the league.
Arizona's interesting because I'm not a believer in their quarterback, and you're already starting to see, you know, frustration from Marvin Harrison Jr. I saw a headline yesterday. He was wide open and totally missed him. Like, is it real frustration, or is that media developed frustration? And if it is real frustration, like with Ja'Marr Chase, how do you bet teams that have this internal thing going on?
Yeah, you have to factor it in. I mean, you probably haven't seen Kyler Murray's comments yesterday.
Yeah.
Where he's basically,
well, it's not my problem.
It's not my job to get him targets.
It is, man. You're the quarterback.
You're the quarterback, and the team drafted him, you know, top five or whatever it was.
Three.
You know, I mean, so top three. I mean, so yeah, it is part of your job. I think Arizona will be better as the season goes on, but I think the Rams with Sean McVay, they have the better quarterback, they have the better head coach.
Right.
They still, even with Puka Nacua being out, they have, you know, at this point, the better receiver. Marvin Harrison long-term might be great, but right now, Cooper Kupp is obviously the guy.
What did he have, 17 catches
targets,
the other day?
21 targets.
It's insane.
So maybe look at some 12? Props. I haven't seen what the yardage prop is for Cooper Kupp. I'm guessing it's going to be
He's like your Tyreek thing, though. Like, you just never want to take the under with Cooper, because as soon as Puka went out, he had already had four receptions. But yeah, 21 targets, I think Kupp had 14 catches for like 120.
And the good thing about Cooper Kupp, like, he's finally back. It's taken him like 2 years. I mean, that's what people don't realize about injuries, right? It takes a good full season to recover, and then part of that next season to recover mentally, know you can trust it. I think Cooper Kupp's back to where he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, he looks great. He looked great. I mean, for me, their key, just bigger picture for the Rams, can Stafford stay healthy? I think people downgrade him a little bit, but if he's healthy, Matthew Stafford can be one of the 7-8 best quarterbacks, if not better than that. But they got to protect him, and that's probably the number one concern right now. If you're hesitant on betting the Rams, I get it. It would just be, do you believe they can protect Matthew Stafford on Sunday? I think they will be able to.
Thursday was my favorite night in college for Thirsty Thursday. For those of you that are unaware, God, I love Thursdays, man. No class on Friday.
Didn't love Thursdays
woke
in
up
college.
At 10 a.m. on Friday, but
I told you Thursday was the best day of the week.
It was about 10, 15 years ago. But no, I want to bring this up. Collegiately, KU again struggled last week, bounce back win this week.
That was the one that got us last week in college. Yep. We went 3-2 in college, and that was one that obviously was the surprise of the weekend, when other than Notre Dame. But in terms of
did you hear Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois?
I did hear. Locally, it was the biggest surprise, but, obviously.
Did they close that game at -4 for Kansas? They were favored by, or they were, I think they were 4-point favorites.
Yeah,
so last I looked.
Yeah, they lost outright.
Yeah,
so it doesn't.
Right. The
number, whether it's 3.5 or 4, obviously didn't impact. I think this is, again, I'm staying away from the spread altogether. This is a total play for me, over 57 points. Ooh. I think we have to see what Jalen Daniels looks like. Is that the new Jalen Daniels? Like, is he no longer the same guy we saw a couple years ago? Or was that just a bad game and your play caller didn't adjust? If you're a KU fan, you're obviously hoping that's what happened.
But it is a new play caller at KU, right?
Grimes comes over from Baylor. The Koldnecki's over at Penn State now. I'm on the over because I think both teams are scoring in this game at Children's Mercy Park. Over 57. UNLV just beat Houston. They're confident. They beat them 27-7. And then they scored 72 points the week before. So I think both teams will put up points.
Who scores more at Children's Mercy Park, KU this weekend or Sporting for the entire season?
KU this week.
I mean, I don't think they'd score 14 goals all season at that point.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
Didn't they just lose a player that got charged with gambling for the second time?
Sporting KC?
I'm pretty sure. He got, like, his contract revoked. Just as
I know a year ago there was something. I don't know if that happened recently. I know a year ago.
But no, K-State, Arizona, or Missouri-Boston College? You like both those games? Like, I feel like Missouri-Boston College, like, Missouri's going to allow a touchdown. I think this week. Okay,
at some point this season, I think you're going to be right, Dustin. Yeah.
Well, they play
will they have a touchdown yet?
I know.
You know, but no. Boston
what if they
College
go the whole season with no touchdowns given?
Okay, yeah. It won't happen. But no, Boston College has a really good receiver.
They might win the title. They just might win the title. Yeah.
Bigley told me or told us the other day, Wednesday, that Boston College is a really good wide receiver. And that Missouri is going to have a chance to really see what they can be on defense.
Oh, it's definitely the test. Because, I mean, I know we were joking, but to your point, Bob, they haven't really played anybody. So let's see what this defense is. We know about their playmakers on offense. I think this is a game where the under's in play as well, though. Boston College likes to run the football, grind it out. Bill O'Brien's done a nice job in the first couple weeks.
I mean, he's come in from, like, literally hired in May or whatever it was.
Late arrival.
Yeah, he's done a nice job.
So I like the under. More of these are total-based than spread for me with the local schools this week, as I mentioned. So I kind of like the under there. With K-State and Arizona, there's one prop bet in the K-State-Arizona game Friday night that I like. Dylan Edwards to score a touchdown, plus 126. You can get plus money on a running back that has scored a touchdown in each of the first 2 weeks for the Wildcats. We saw them go down to Tulane, of course, and then the week prior to that. So I think Dylan Edwards is in play for a touchdown, and then I like the over in K-State Arizona, over 59. This was a K-State team that won, but they gave up 342 yards to Tulane, and then we know K-State's capable with Avery Johnson. I just hope they unleash Avery Johnson. I feel like they're holding them back a little bit from being the true dual threat.
Right.
And if that happens, it should help your over.
I would love to see his prop numbers be bet this weekend. You got anything coming up other than Paul Charchin today on the Cody and Gold show?
We'll have Dayton Hughes join us as well. Talk a little bit about Xavier Worthy. And I want to get his thoughts on the comments from Cincinnati as they're yapping again.
Well, he runs really straight lines, and he's fast.
All we have to do is get our hands on him. Best of luck doing that.
I hope Worthy just burns him one time. Just one time. Just once.
But he only weighs 100 pounds. All you got to do is put your hands on him.
But all you got to do is
the key is you got to get your hands on him.
Yeah, but by the time you get out of your stance, he's in the end zone, sir.
Yeah, if you don't jam him, you're in big trouble.
Well, thanks for all the gambling advice. I hope we win some money, and we hope we can do this all night.